Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Profiles. From entertainers to athletes, political leaders to entrepreneurs, Profiles gives you an insight into what has made these unique personalities who and what they are today. Now, Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
I'm Tom Ackerman. I've done interviews for KMOX Profiles for a few years now, and we've interviewed people from Ozzie Smith to Kenny Wallace to leaders here in the St. Louis community and beyond. But I'm not sure I've ever sat down with someone as having so many different backgrounds as Ted Savage, who was an outfielder for the Cardinals in the 1960s, but played for eight major league teams. He started off with the Phillies in 1962, went to the Pirates, then for the Cardinals a couple of years before having his contract purchased by the Cubs early in the 1967 season. He also played for the Dodgers, the Reds, the Brewers, and the Royals. Savage was a good outfielder and certainly a useful player on a number of teams, but he did play for a number of different teams, making his way back to St. Louis, and he's been a fixture here in the St. Louis area for a number of years. Ted is from this area. He was born in Venice, Illinois, across the river, and spent his time growing up in East St. Louis. He went to Lincoln High School, where he was a three-sport star, playing basketball and running track, as well as his love of baseball. Ted also went to Lincoln University. That's in Jefferson City. And there, he learned the importance of education, and it played a huge role in his life. Because after Lincoln University and spending some time in the Army and his baseball career, he earned a PhD in urban studies from St. Louis University, and then he spent 9 years as an athletic director at Harris Stowe State University here in St. Louis. Harris Stowe is located just west of downtown, and on its campus is the former ballpark of the St. Louis Stars, who played in the Negro Leagues. Ted was hired by the Cardinals in the 80s. He was the assistant director of community relations. He also spent time as a minor league instructor, but he had some staying power with the Cardinals as the person who started the RBI program, reviving baseball in the inner city with the Cardinals. He spent a number of years with them. He's retired now, but still has the title of ambassador. He retired 6 years ago. He was the director of target marketing in the Cardinals care and community relations departments. And for many years, he hosted his own golf tournament. It was renamed the Ted Savage RBI Golf Classic to raise funds for RBI, reviving baseball in the inner cities. That tournament held for many years at Forest Park, which is the city's golf course. Savage, a player in baseball who did a lot of great things. He made his major league debut April 9th, 1962 for the Phillies. He pinch hit for Wes Covington against Bob Miller and grounded out, but he stayed in the game. He played left field, and after grounding out again in the seventh inning, he notched his first major league hit. It was an RBI as well, a base hit off pitcher Dave Hillman that drove in Tony Gonzalez. He later had another RBI single that scored Gonzalez again off pitcher Jim Brosnan. That's Ted Savage for you. He never gave in, and he continued to play an extremely long career despite bouncing from team to team and really playing the role of reserve outfielder and pinch hitter for many of those teams. His final game was in the 70s. He played in two different decades. 1971 with the Kansas City Royals. He got his final career hit in that game. It was a single off Tommy John, and he ended his playing career with 642 games played, playing 114 games in 1970 with the Brewers. That was the most he had played since his rookie year with the Phillies in 1962. You'll find in this next hour with Ted Savage that he's a brilliant person, somebody who's very thoughtful, but he also went through a lot. In the 1960s, race relations were not the greatest, and Savage did go through a lot, especially early in his career when he started with the Phillies, and he'll tell us that story. But he met some great people through the years. His relationships with Lou Brock and Bob Gibson, Curt Flood, and many of the Cardinals give him great memories. He also played for the rival Chicago Cubs, and the manager of that club doesn't provide the greatest memories for him either. But Ted Savage is still a very important part of Cardinal history. Somebody who grew up here, played here, a link to the great teams of the 60s, but also continuing to grow the game in the city of St. Louis. It's a passion of his. He's still at the ballpark all the time, shaking hands, meeting kids, talking to older adults about the past, and telling great stories, laughing a lot. That's Ted Savage wearing that Cardinals jacket, allowing us to appreciate the Cardinals organization through him. It's my pleasure to present Ted Savage in this edition of KMOX Profiles, and we'll do that right after this.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
I'm Tom Ackerman. It is great to be back on KMOX with former Cardinal and really somebody who spends so much time and has through the years in Cardinals care, also as an ambassador for the club. He is a great spokesman for the organization. He's Ted Savage, the former Cardinals outfielder, is with us. Mr. Savage, always a pleasure to be able to speak with you, and to have you here at KMOX is a real treasure. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
It's good to be with you. How are things? How are you doing? What are you up to right now?
I'm doing pretty good. I've had my physical problems, but everything is working out okay. And I'm still the ambassador for the Cardinals, so I get a chance to go to all the ball games, talk to some of the old timers around, you know, and still communicate and talk and BS with some of the fans and stuff like that.
That's one of the great experiences, is to be able to spend time with some of the great players. And I do see you around there walking around all the time. You're very present.
Yeah, I enjoy talking to people, and one of the first things they ask me is, who did you play for? And how do you know this guy? How do you know that guy? I said, well, I played for 8 major league ball players. And, you know, back in the day, things weren't as, I said, great or good as they are now, you know, because there was segregation back in the day. And I got a chance to meet and play with all the superstars of, I called it yesterday, you know, guys like Willie Mays and Hank Aaron, and Starger was my roommate, and got a chance to play with Roberto Clemente. And I just think about it, and I said, boy, you did all right. You know, you wasn't a superstar, but at least you got a chance to play with all those guys.
Well, you mentioned 8 major league clubs. I mean, you played for 8 major league clubs in a span of a decade and through the 1960s.
Right.
You're from the area. I mean, you grew up in East St. Louis, so it is a great success story.
Yeah. I know one day I was downtown here where I am now, and I guess the tallest building over down on the riverfront or close to the riverfront. And I was just looking out of the window, and I was way up high. And I looked to my left, and I saw Venice, Illinois, where I was born. I looked a little bit to my right, and I saw East St. Louis, where I was raised, and where it all started. And I said, my goodness, I've been around the country, so to speak, and I wind up right back here where I can see everything. It was great, a great feeling that I had.
Baseball in the 1960s, can you describe what the game was like then? As you mentioned, now you had people of color were prominent in the game and starting to play more and be recognized more.
What was it like? It was like to me that the minority ball players, we were in our own zone. We didn't communicate too much to the other guys because, you know, and it always bothered me that the first thing the coaches and managers would holler is teamwork. You got to love your teammate and all this kind of stuff. But yet and still, when I first started, I remember going into Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and then when the bus pulled up at the airport getting to Pennsylvania, the say white boys would go one way and we would go another, and they pulled up when they got to me. They took me to one place in Pennsylvania, and when the guy pulled up in front of the house, it was a field home. And I said, "Why are you stopping here?" He said, "This is where you're staying." I said, "That sign says field home." And he said, "Well, this is where you're staying. Either you stay here or you can go back home." You know, I said, "Okay." So a couple of guys came to the door. "Hey, Ted, come on in." You know, I said, "Okay." So I came on in and says, "Past curfew, it's time for you to go to bed." I said, "Okay." And so I laid down and kind of closed my eyes a little bit. And then I felt something really heavy on me, you know, just embarrassed, just totally heavy. And when I opened my eyes, it was a dead body. My boys had went and got a dead body and put him on top of me, you know. And I didn't know how strong I was until I pushed him off of me, and there I am running down the street and with no clothes over my shorts because I'm trying to get away from the dead body. And this is some of the stuff that we went through back then, and it was, you had to make fun of it, you know, because that's the way it was back in the day, you know, and you had to just go through it and do what you can do and play the game and enjoy your friends, you know.
And when was that in Williamsport? How old were you then?
I was about 22, 23, somewhere in there.
You were with the Phillies?
Right.
1962?
Yeah. It's things that I have been thinking about all my life. And my first experience with the Phillies was really the one I was telling you about. I'm not going to call his name, picked me up at the airport and took me to the hotel where we were staying. And this person got out of the car and went into the hotel. And I looked around and I saw two or three of the ball players walk around. I said, "Well, I guess this is where we're staying." I said, "I'd like this. You know, I'm right there on the beach. And I'm looking at all these people and I'm saying, okay." So I got out and went in the hotel. And I got about four or five steps in the big lobby. And I heard the magic word, "What the hell are you doing here?" You know. And then the guy came back and said, "No, you're not staying here." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, these guys are staying here. You got to stay somewhere else." And that's when he took me to this place, the funeral home, you know. And from then on, I knew I was going to be in trouble, and I had to put up with a lot of stuff, and they had to put up with me, and that's the way it started.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Ted Savage is our guest on KMOX Profiles. You came to the Cardinals and played for three seasons with the Redbirds. You were teammates with Lou Brock,
yeah,
who joined the team in 1964.
We're roommates for a little while, and Gibby was there, Al Jackson was there, and I think myself. And can't think of somebody else, but I know there's someone else there too. But one story I can tell you about Lou is that, you know, Lou was a terrific base dealer, and I was too, I thought. And I knew I was, because I still think about stealing home plate. I think I stole home plate more than anybody. starting around 1940 and up to today. And Lou and I were talking about stealing home plate or stealing bases, period. And he finally looked at me and says, you know, you're a good base stealer. I said, we talking trash. I said, I'm better than you. The problem is I can't steal first base. And we laughed about it. You know, that's if we were just having fun, you know. And that's one of the things we went through when I first broke in, you know.
He had some serious power and took great pride in his hitting, didn't he?
Yeah. Lou was, after he came in from Chicago, Lou was, he had it all. You know, not only could he get on base, which I couldn't do that well, and he was a great outfielder, and he was all about winning. He was all about stealing bases. He was all about getting base hits, especially at the right time. He had it all going for him. And you can tell he had it all going for him right now because just look at his record. He did it all.
There's a drive way back in the left center. It may, Brock makes a sensational catch. Holy cow, unbelievable. Lou Brock, a backhanded shoestring catch in left center. A remarkable play, two away.
Runners lead off first and second. Sadecki's pitch line to left field, a base hit. Lou Brock coming in fast up with it. Whitey's going to try and score. The throw to the plate is in time. A beautiful throw. Holy cow, did he throw a strike.
Brock, could it be 4-for-4? Yes, sir. A base hit out into right field. There she goes. Way back. It might be. It could be. It is. A home run. Holy cow.
1953. That dates me. I'm an old man. And I knew that there was a problem then. I knew we were segregated then. I wanted the kids to have a chance to play baseball and have the equipment and stuff to play baseball. What I did was, I worked with Matthews Dickens Boys Club. I went into every home, every project in East St. Louis, St. Louis, all around the area, and asked the kids and their mom and dad, will you let this kid come out to play? But when they saw that, they said yes. I've been involved with RBI for over 27, 28 years. We have raised in those years over $600,000. So the program is still going good. The kids are out there, they want to play, found a nice ballpark for them to play in, which we are doing also, building ballparks, and the kids will come out and play.
I'm Tom Ackerman. We're visiting with Ted Savage on KMOX Profiles. Ted, you spent a great deal of time after your playing career. It's as much a part of your legacy as anything. As an educator, we talked about your time now as an ambassador, and I do want to touch on your work with RBI. Mm-hmm. But you spent a lot of time in the city. Harris Stowe, you earned your PhD in urban studies. What was your drive and your attraction to the city in that way? What did you want to accomplish?
Well, my father used to talk to me all the time. He was a teacher over at in Venice, Illinois, at the school over there. And he always told me, he said, son, I want you to get your education and get all the education you can because things might not work out for you as far as baseball goes. And so I just kept going to school because I wanted to be, when I quit playing baseball, I wanted to be educated enough to get a pretty good job. And it turned out fine for me.
What can we do better as a city?
As a city? You know, I've been thinking about that quite a bit, you know, and I really don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I know, like went to the barbershop the other day, and every time I go to this barbershop, I've been going there for about 40 years. I'm a little nervous when I'm sitting in the chair. Then I go down by where I, when I was living in the city, I go down to the, past that area going to the barbershop, and I look at the homes down there are really still nice, but there's so much crime down there, and I can't figure it out. The big park, O'Fallon Park, used to go out there all the time and just play around. We used to sit out at night and just hang out and telling stories until we had to get our butts at home. And I can't figure out what's going on. You know, everybody's shooting everybody, you know. And I just don't know how people should attack it, you know, and try to do much better.
Well, you spent a lot of time promoting RBI, baseball in the inner city.
Right.
Tell me about that time, and I know those efforts continue as you've worked very hard to put together a golf tournament.
You know, one of the things I did, like you said, was put together this golf tournament. It turned out great for years. The other thing was, as far as RBI, Reviving Baseball in the City goes, when I first started, I thought I was going to have a problem, but I would see these kids playing ball out in the streets and anywhere they could, they were throwing a baseball, and it reminded me of the days when I started. There was some railroad tracks pretty close, and I used to back up against the railroad tracks, the trains. Although they were stationary, I'd get up on top of the car and try to catch a train, try to catch a ball and all this kind of stuff. And I know these kids, a lot of them, I knew their mothers and fathers. The kids wanted to play, but nobody ever tried to pull them together. And I went into some homes, and I would ask mom and dad, could this kid play baseball with us? And I'm trying to form this organization called RBI, and Mr. Matthews was head of the place, and, you know, he had his place over there on Kings Highway, and I was surprised that the mothers and fathers said yes. And I looked up, and one year we had, I think the first year we had something like maybe 10 teams. Next year we had about 14. Next year we had about 17 or 18. And looked around, and, man, we had to kind of cut back a little bit because these kids wanted to do something, but they didn't have nobody to help them out. And when the Cardinals told me that to go forward with this thing, I did, and it turned out fine.
And the efforts continue, and I wonder if we can, as we continue to try to push the game in the city, what the possibilities are. If we can continue to get the funding and the support and build facilities, and the kids need places to play, they need things to do outside of school. And maybe that can help reduce some of the crime and some of the things that are happening.
I agree with you. I think the organization, the people that are running the RBI now, I think they're doing a great job because they're still doing it. But I don't know why our kids are finding, well, they're finding other sports activity, you know, and mom and dad, a lot of them are moving out of the city to get away from this stuff that's going on. We just have to stay with it, and hopefully it'll turn out better.
When you were growing up in East St. Louis, you played not just baseball. You were
basketball. And track. Yeah.
Why baseball? What was the decision there?
I always loved to play baseball. And couldn't wait for the summertime to get here. So the guys I was playing with wanted to play the game too. I remember one of the guys came over here to Sportsman's Park. That's the old park. And he was one of the best pitchers I had ever seen as a kid, you know. And he tried out for the Cardinals. He broke his arm just pitching, trying to throw so hard he broke his arm. And I just wanted to play the game, you know, and wanted to steal bases. I wanted to be Jackie Robinson. I wanted to be Hank Aaron, you know, and all those guys. I looked up one day, and there was Hank standing beside me. you know, because his brother and I were great friends, Tommy. And that's what I wanted to do. And then I got a chance to play pro basketball. I forget, or I have forgotten the name of the team I played for. I think it was in Omaha. But we traveled all over the country. You know, you can you remember that team, or what they call that team?
Trying to remember that Omaha team, no.
We traveled all over the country playing basketball. And I remember one day a scout came to me and said, do you want to continue playing basketball or do you want to play baseball? I'll sign your contract right away. And I chose baseball. You know, and I went and just started playing baseball.
Did you play basketball? Did you and Bob Gibson ever go one-on-one?
No, we never go. Bob is, we never did go. I just said we never did go one-on-one, but we talk trash all the time, you know. And.
Because he could play.
Yeah, he could play. And, you know, I thought I could play too. When you go pro, you play a little bit, you know. I tried out for the St. Louis Hawks.
Did you?
Yeah, and I said I had it made, but I chose, the coach told me basketball runs into the baseball season. Baseball runs into the basketball season. He said, so you got to make a choice. And I chose baseball.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Line drive into center field, throw on the run. Makes the catch, and he's going to get a double play. Holy cow! He saved the ball game. He steps on the bag for the double play. Kurt Flood came tearing in, a sure single to center, and turned it into an unassisted double play. Holy cow, what a play to end the game on.
Talking to Ted Savage here on KMOX. When I say the name Kurt Flood, what comes to mind?
Kurt Flood came to me one day and says, you know, the team is treating me wrong, and we as teammates knew what was going on. And he said, I want you guys talking to some of the minor league, his teammates, his black teammates, he said, I want you guys to go and help me pull this thing off, he said, because I don't think they should treat me, you know, any time they get ready, or anybody could just say, hey, you're going to be traitors the next thing. He said, I'm going to fight this thing. And I remember looking at Kurt right in the face. I said, Kurt, I got a family. I said, you're going to have a lot of problems. And I said, I can't go with you down this line. I said, because you're going to have problems, big problems. And sure enough, he had big problems. And I went on and got a couple more years in the big leagues, you know. And so I just couldn't take that chance. And looked up and there they were, and they were all over his back, and I think eventually he sent him across the water somewhere. Where did he go? He went over there somewhere for a while, and then he came back, and they gave him another shot, but it was too late then. All the damage had been done.
A lot of players, all the players that make the money they make today, have him to thank, don't they?
Yep, yeah. And when I think of the money they make in the day, all I want is about 2 months in the major leagues. I'll be set for life.
Just a few more minutes with Ted Savage here on KMOX. We talked about your time in Pennsylvania, Phillies, Pirates, came over to the Cardinals. But I have the list here of the teams that you played after the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Cubs, Dodgers, Reds, Brewers, Royals. I mean, you made the trip through, didn't you?
And I always wondered, why did I get traded so much? And I finally figured it out, which I'm not going to say on the mic. But I finally figured it out, you know. And I will say this, because he's passed away, one of the worst and one of the best managers I ever played for was, the manager of the Cubs back in the day. What was his name? Leo DeRocher.
Leo DeRocher.
And we had our problems, man. And
yeah, he was tough, huh?
He was tough, you know. And I was glad to get out of there, you know. Had a lot of fun, though. But in those days, you had to have fun, and you had fun with your teammates, especially your black teammates, because that's who you're with all the time. And I remember one of the white teammates I had, we came to St. Louis, and he said, I want to stay with you while we're here instead of going home. And I went to the coach and told him what was going to happen. He said, no, he can't stay at your house. I said, that's my teammate. But he did. And we had a good time. For a few days, we stayed here in St. Louis. You know, naturally, I was standing in the hood, 4311 driving, but it was a nice house and nice area then. And we had a good time. And the next thing I knew, I got traded again. I'm trying to figure out why I was getting traded all the time. And I kind of figured out to myself, I was the educated one. And I guess a lot of people just didn't like that, you know. And it got to a point where I would get upset and stay angry because of the way we were treated, you know. And things worked out. I'm still alive. I got my little pension. And I just wish I could play about 2 weeks right now, you know, and all the money they're making right now, you know. And I would be fine for life.
Well, you are, if it's any consolation, a very important Cardinal, because you are a connection not only to that era, but you've continued to try to grow the game here in our city, and you're from the city, and it's such a great organization in part because of you. And I just would love to see another world championship won under your watch. It would be pretty special.
Yeah, I talk with Kenny Reese every day about baseball, and we've become real good friends, and it's not like it used to be. Mm-mm. Guys hit a home run, and they start clapping and doing things to the other team and everything. I said, back in the day, if you did that against Bob Gibson, you'd be on your butt the next time you came up to the plate. You quieting that thing down a little bit. You guys showing each other up, but they all do it now, you know. And there's one thing I'm gonna let you go. There's one thing I see today I can't imagine. These guys still go to their mouth a lot. And in those days, you couldn't go to your mouth.
Pitchers, yeah.
Yeah, because you're throwing the spitball, and when you throw a spitball, that thing really fall off the table, you know. But they do it now. I don't know where they're throwing spitballs now, but I know I see a lot of pitchers going to their mouth. And if you look at their hat, it's a big black spot right up there, you know. And I just wonder what's going on these days. Home run is the way to go, I guess, because that's what everybody's trying to hit. They don't play the game like we played it. You know, they don't hit and run. They don't bunt, you know, and they don't. A few guys steal bases, but, you know. These guys, as far as stealing home plate, you can't steal home plate because they look like most of them pitch from the stretch all the time, so you can't steal home. They have enough time.
Well, you played during one of the great eras in the history of the game in the 1960s. A big part of the Cardinals is Ted Savage still, and we appreciate you being here on KMOX. It's great to catch up with you, and we'll see you around the ballpark.
Thanks for having me. I enjoy telling some stories. One of these days, I'm going to put together my book, and you're going to hear some stories.
Oh, I want that. That's Ted Savage. I'm Tom Ackerman on KMOX.
You've been listening to Profiles. If you missed any of this episode or to hear other profiles, go to KMOX.com and click On Demand.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.